Bibles, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to be speaking from verses 24 to actually 28. It says 26, I think, in your bulletin, but I'm going to add a couple of verses. And let me tell you, verses 27 and 28 of this passage are pretty phenomenal, and I won't be able to go into depth on those, great depth, but pretty neat. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. We've been preaching through the faith chapter, and we find ourselves talking about Moses. Today, I think that we have a lot of pleasures in our life, don't we? This is a nod your head time. Yes, you have many pleasures in life. Let me share with some of those. You have clothes to wear, and you have lots of clothes to wear. Several of you debated, what should I wear? What should I wear today? And you had to rifle through. We have shoes to wear. And we have, some of us, a lot of shoes that we have to choose from with a certain outfit. We have coolness in our homes. Isn't it nice to have air conditioning? Now, this last week, we haven't had to use a whole lot of air conditioning, maybe. But boy, it was hot this summer. And it's been nice to have air conditioning. We have coolness in our houses. Actually, we had one, two, three, maybe three families, if not four families in our church that lost air conditioning through some of the hot stretches of the time. Wow, that's not good. We have cars. What a pleasure that is. Aren't cars wonderful? I think cars are wonderful till they break down, and then they're not so wonderful. But aren't cars just wonderful? I mean, you came this morning, and just think if you would have tried to come to First Wesleyan Church this morning without a car. Now think about that for a moment. Several of you, it's not a problem. Some of you, as I look around, that would have been a problem for you to be able to be here at church this morning. We have friends. That's a pleasure, isn't it? We have this church building. What a pleasure. We have food. Now isn't food a good thing? And another thing is we have padded chairs. Isn't this wonderful? I mean, you're not sitting on some hard surface. You're sitting on a padded chair. Isn't that wonderful? I brought with me today several pleasures. You might identify with some of these pleasures. You might not identify. You may say, well, that's not a pleasure at all. But how many of you like Oreos? All right. Should I open this up this morning? There is 30 packs of six each in there. If you've never been to Sam's Club, now, aren't those delicious? Okay, you're not going to get them right now, sorry. Everybody read the title of the sermon? Resisting Pleasures, okay? How many of you like chips? Yeah, chips are good, aren't they? Don't raise your hand on this one, okay? Because I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. How many of you have eaten like this size of bag of chips in one setting before? Don't answer that question, okay? Now, you probably had one of those little bags. We have some of those, but how many of you eaten some of those? All right. And now, in here. Ooh. How many like Coca-Cola? Yeah, Coca-Cola. Aren't those good? Yeah. Now, some of you in this room are a little older than I, and I don't think Coca-Cola came in 2-liter bottles when it first came out. My understanding, when Coca-Cola first kind of came around, and this, I'm probably going to show my age because I really don't understand this, but I'll just try. I mean, they're like 10-ounce bottles, glass bottles that you have to go down to the store, and they would have a bottle opener that hopefully you could open it, and 10 ounces. Man, how many of you could drink a 10-ounce and be done? No, we go to wherever we go and say, I got the 32, 44, 65, whatever. I drink it all and fill it up again before I go. Coca-Cola. How many of you like me now? Yeah. How many of you like Lindt chocolate? Irresistibly smooth. Assorted chocolate truffles. Hold on just a second. Here you go, Manel. I'm no dummy. And I have one more thing. Ice cream sandwiches. Now, I really like this one because of what it says. Can everybody read that? Fat Boy ice cream sandwiches. I'm going to put the lid back on here for a moment so that stays nice and cool. We have pleasures, don't we? I'm going to talk a little bit about food here in just a couple of moments. How do you turn these pleasures down at times? Where do you go when you feel led? And what do you keep so others will have as well? Join me in the scripture here. I'm going to start at verse 24, and I'm going to go through verse 28. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Lord Jesus, I just pray as we open this passage this morning that you would speak to each of us. I think, again, there's a message for each of us. So I just pray, God, that you would help us to hear your word for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point is by faith. We've been talking about this. In this passage, there's actually three by faiths that I'm going to talk about. In verse 24, you see it. In verse 27, you see it. In verse 28, you see it. By faith. What is faith? If you look back to verse 1 of chapter 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must say that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. And where are we going? We are going to the great cloud of witnesses that are in front of us. Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that is marked in front of us. So we see, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up. If you were with us last week, you noticed that Moses had a dad by the name of what? Anybody remember? Amram, thank you very much. And mom's name was Jochebed. Amram and Jochebed. The Israelites were told that if they had a baby, that the baby, if it was a boy, was going to be thrown into the river and the baby would die. They went ahead and had a baby. They hid Moses for 3 months. And after they had hidden him for 3 months, they sent him down the river in a basket. And as the basket was going down the river, Miriam, his sister, was nearby. Pharaoh's daughter comes out. Moses cries as a little baby. Pharaoh's daughter says, oh, a little baby. Draws Moses out of the water. Miriam says, hey, you want me to take care of this little baby for you for a while? Sure. And so Moses went home with mom and dad. And then Moses went back to the palace probably around 2 years of age. As he grew up, he had a challenge. You might remember this. If you don't, he had a challenge. And what did he do as he grew up? He killed another man. Yes, he killed a man. Not good. And when he grew up, he did not want to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Moses wanted his identity. I don't know if you've ever wanted a different name. Maybe you have. Maybe your name that you've been given, you're like, I don't like that name. Moses did not want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think of the prestige. Think of the notoriety. Think of the glory. Think of the rights. Think of all the things that would come of being called Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, that's something big. It's not just, oh, no big deal. No, this is important. And yet Moses said, I don't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A book I'm reading, the author named Bollinger, says that he must have heard from God that he was not to accept this high privilege. Otherwise, it would not have been by faith, because we all would have done that. Oh, yeah, I'd like to be the son of the president. I'm never going to be the son of a president. I might be the dad of a president someday, but I'm never going to be the son of a president. Wow, think of it. Do you know who I am? I'm Steve Selfridge. Well, who's Steve Selfridge? Well, my son is the president. I mean, I would want that. Wouldn't you want that? I mean, that would be something. But he said no to that. I wonder what you have refused when the world says, take it. But you knew deep within that God did not want you to do that. Moses, by faith, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Maybe it was a job for you. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was a friend or a direction. And everybody else said, you should do that. I mean, do you understand? You could be called the son. Do you understand what happens if you're called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? When everybody else is looking for something, you are like ushered into the front row. You get to sit right there. We don't have anybody sitting right there. We have some. We don't have anybody right there. You get to sit in the front row. Think of all the prestige, but he refused that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He avoided the pleasures of sin. Sin. I'm going to talk about sin for a couple of minutes here. It's a pleasurable for a time. The King James Version, it says, instead of saying pleasurable for a time, says enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. The NIV says enjoy sin for a short time. Everyone knows here, but everybody doesn't like this. Everybody knows that a man reaps what he sows. We know, because we've heard this, we know that smoking is dangerous to our lungs, but many of us have tried or participated in. We know that eating too many fattening items are not good for us, but we do it anyway. We know that drinking pop is loaded with calories and sugar, but oh, do we love the taste. We know that TV show or that movie that we watch won't make an eternal difference, but 2 hours later, we find ourselves still there, and we haven't done a whole lot. We know gossip is bad, but we share the rumor anyway. What is your, as the scripture would say, fleeting pleasure of sin? Well, I don't have any of those, Steve. Well, I kind of think that maybe all of us have a fleeting pleasure of sin. There's something that's fleeting there that's pleasureful for us. And here's the scoop. The enemy knows what that is and tries to get each of us trapped in that. Why not surrender that fleeting pleasure to the Lord so we don't have to just enjoy that pleasure for a little time? We can just refuse what could happen with that sin. Moses chose to be mistreated than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Yes, sin can be very pleasurable, but it is only for a season, only for a time. Then it comes time for reckoning. I want to relate it a little bit about, with food today. I'm not preaching about food by any means, but we all know that we should eat healthy. That's a given. We all know that we should drink healthy. That's a given. But we don't necessarily do that all the time. One time at a youth event, when I was a youth pastor, I had a young man who ate 7 Snicker bars. Now, that was like 325 calories a pop or something. I mean, that's a lot of Snickers. I mean, he was a big kid. I mean, he wasn't overweight. He was like a swimmer guy. He was fit. And so he got rid of that energy pretty quick, but I mean, it's like 2,100 calories, right? Like that. Incredible. But we play with these fleeting pleasures. This is what we say. Well, it won't matter. It won't matter if I just open it and just eat one chip. It won't matter. But then we find ourselves eating more than one, and we find ourselves licking our fingers, and then we find ourselves getting like a bottle of Coke, and then we drink that, and then that just tastes good. Oh, man, does it taste good. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 63% of Americans are overweight. Now, I don't want you to look at your neighbor. I just want you to look up at me, because here's the scoop. We all want to look around and say, well, okay, We all know this, don't we? Let me share with you something. Not everybody here is from South Dakota, but the national average is 63% are overweight. In South Dakota, the average is 64%. So we're a little healthier than the national average. Go South Dakota. If you're from Arkansas today, you actually are in the 69% tile. That's the highest. And the lowest is, I don't think we have anybody from there, but from Hawaii. Only 53% of the people are overweight. Only 53% of the people. There are statistics of all kinds that say, you know what? You shouldn't buy a Coca-Cola, and you shouldn't drink all of that. But this is what we do. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you have better self-control than everybody. But what we do is we say, oh, shh, and we open that up, and we're like, I'll just get a cup. And then all of a sudden, the time goes by, and we get another one, and we get another one, and we get another one. And then all of a sudden, that thing's gone. I relate that because I think that's very well in our spiritual lives as well, in our lives. We think that that thing is not going to hurt us. And so we just take a look at it. We just take a gander down that way, just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, what happens? That sin entices us. And the enemy entices us and pulls us in. Several of you have been to a doctor. When you go to a doctor, the doctor says, step up on the scales. Some of you at that point in time hope that it's winter time so you can take your coat off. You definitely want to take your shoes off because those are probably a good 7 pounds, you know. Because you never want that scale to let the doctor know what you actually weigh. Now, we read, and even as I'm here and I'm talking about your physical bodies, we hear statistics all the time about how we shouldn't eat and how we're overweight, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. We just say, okay, whatever. But if you've ever had a doctor come down to you, I'm going to come to you, Dave. If you ever had a doctor come to you and say, Dave, if you don't stop, you're going to die. Now, if you ever had a doctor tell you that, you make one of two choices. I don't believe Dave's a drinker, but I don't even know. But let's say Dave's a drinker. Dave, if you're a drinker, your liver's going to shrivel up and you're going to die. Dave does one of two things. He either stops drinking alcohol or he dies. I think sometimes it takes a person, maybe even like me, to stand in front of you today and say this. The Word of God is good for you, but unless you put it into your life, it doesn't do a whole lot of good. And so just like some of you with a medical doctor, you're like, well, I don't need to change how I eat. I don't need to change how I exercise. I don't need to change any of that. If you enjoy the fleeting pleasures of these things and then they just become consuming in your life, you end up dying. It's not what we believe, but whom we believe. And sometimes when somebody comes and says, stop, then we say, we need to. So how do we stay away from sin? By knowing the evil possibilities to sin, just like food. Let me share a couple. Men, we think that looking that way for just a second at that lady, whether it be in a magazine or live, is no big deal. The fleeting pleasures of sin. The thought of envy towards a neighbor's possession. The fleeting pleasures of sin. That temptation of pride because of what we have done. The fleeting pleasures of sin. The white lie. Just one. It'll just be one lie. The fleeting pleasures of sin. The drink from that bottle or puff from that stick. The fleeting pleasures of sin. The stealing of a candy bar without paying for it at the store. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Looking at someone else's paper for an answer on the test. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Each of these can lead to greater issues, and there's other things I haven't tapped into that we all acknowledge. I, you, we all think, I'm included in this, can think, oh, I can just enjoy just a little and it's not going to bother me. I can watch that on the screen for a little bit, but it won't bother me. Oh, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Is there something in your life that you're enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin that even right now as I'm speaking, you're saying, I need to confess that and I need to stay away from that or it's going to be our gargantuan sin. Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. One year, I went without drinking pop for the whole year. I like Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper tastes really good in my mouth. My taste buds say, good to Dr. Pepper. That tastes really good. It was a choice. I did it. I drink Dr. Pepper now. It's okay. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's interesting. It does not say that Moses put up with or endured. He chose. Some of you have agreed that eating healthy and right leads to several things. I think if you eat healthy, you have better sleeping. I think if you eat healthy, you have better physical health. I think if you eat right, you're in better shape. I think if you eat right, you have better results from your doctor. So you eat healthy in order to stay in shape, but for most of us, there's still an edge to say, boy, if I could just down that dozen donuts. I knew there's a reason why I bought a dozen. I mean, I've only had one, and now I've only had two, and now I've only had three. The fleeting pleasure of sin. May we also reject the fleeting pleasures of sin as to follow Christ better. It's only one, but here's what happens. It's only one, and it entices and traps. One author suggests that many of us that choose to live this Christian life aren't living by faith with joyous opinions on it. We go home and we say, oh, I can't. Pastor Steve said I couldn't drink Coca-Cola anymore. Wah! And it's a choice, and it's a choice of how we respond to that. When that sin comes possibly to us and we choose against it, we don't just groan around, oh, like the Bible tells me that I can't take the Lord's name in vain anymore. What a bummer. No, we rise up and we say, the Bible says that I shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. And that's given me so much freedom in my language. But no, what happens is many, and this happens especially when we have teenagers. When the teenagers get into the realm, they're like, man, I can't drink alcohol because the church says that alcohol's not good for me. Oh, it's just, I'm missing out on life. I can't go out with any other guy I want to, any other girl I want to. I'm missing out on life. I choose to believe that the Word of God is there for us to help us avoid all the pain of regret and not allow for peace in our lives. And when we choose that way, we actually should not mourn or groan or murmur or be depressed or distressed because we see what happens with the sin that can be there. In the book of James, just a book over, chapter 1, verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Our fleeting pleasures of indulgence with food has made us into fat people. spiritually, our fleeting pleasures of sin have left us unchanged, unmoved, and victoryless Christians. Oh, may we say no to the fleeting pleasures of sin. If we believe what we had heard from God about is Christ, and this brings reproach upon us, it ought to make us the happiest of beings. It ought to act like water to a parched plant. It ought to make our joy to grow exceedingly. The cloak of Christ is of greater worth. Moses chose this. Earlier I talked about his refusing, but then he chose something a lot tougher. I got to get to verse 27. Here's what it says. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. Now, when you think of this, when he left Egypt, you have to think back also a couple of things. He actually left Egypt twice. He left Egypt the first time when he had killed another Egyptian and he went to Midian. But then he came back to Egypt to where he would lead the people out of Egypt. So he actually left Egypt twice. So the question of the text is, which leaving is this talking about? Is this talking about the first leaving, or is it talking about the second leaving? I choose to believe that the leaving that is talking about here, and you can chat with me about this and look at this as well. I think it's talking about when he left first. He fled and was fearful, but I think that and if you look in Exodus, it says he was fearful. If you look at what's happening here, the author of Hebrews brings this out. I think what Moses was doing when he first left the first time was actually an act of courage. Not an act of fear. It was showing the courage of the man who had learned to wait. Imagine if Moses had stayed in Egypt. His passion, his anger would have won the day, and he wouldn't have been patient. Imagine him trying to lead the Israelites out of Egypt at that point in time. He simply would have not have been able to do it. Where did Moses go? Moses, when he left, went to Midian is where he went. Do you know where Midian's at? It was a wilderness. It wasn't like to a big metropolis full of all kinds of fun things. It was go out to nowhere. That's where I want you to go. Maybe you're in the room today and you need to hear this. God's calling you to the wilderness for a time. And you don't want to. You want to go to the next biggest thing. You're passionate about something. You want to make something work. And yet God is calling you out of the mix to take you for some time in the wilderness. Some time to get away. How long was Moses in the wilderness? Anybody know? 40 years. That's a long time to be in the wilderness. I'm not asking necessarily that God wants you to go 40 years somewhere. But even if Moses had been ready, would the people have been ready to leave at that point in time? I don't believe so. And so sometimes it may not just be us in the mix. Actually, God is asking us to leave the mix for a while because of someone else. By faith, he left Egypt. What a great step for him. Though think of the many tough years that he might have had as he left Egypt. Verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. Now, this was a huge step of faith. Let's go back to what had happened to the Egyptians and Israelites. God had sent a number of plagues. These plagues were not good. Moses continued to go to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said no. Then a couple of times Pharaoh said, yeah, well, you can go. And then he changed his mind and they weren't able to go. Finally, Moses was told by the Lord that the firstborn was going to die, but that the Israelites could be spared by killing a lamb and then putting the blood over the doorframe. The Israelites at this point in time were kind of raw. If you read through the book, you're kind of like, oh, the Israelites weren't real excited about Moses because he had come and all these plagues, and the Egyptians weren't very happy with the Israelites, and it was not good. They had to work harder, and then the plagues came, and then, of course, the plagues didn't touch the Israelites, but I have a feeling the Egyptians were not fun to work with. Now here comes Moses to present the next thing. Here's what you need to do, Israelites. You need to kill a lamb. And what you need to do is you need to get the blood and you need to put it over the door frame. And later on, I don't think it was tonight, later on, there's going to be a death angel that comes. And if you don't have that blood over your door frame, your firstborn's going to die. Kind of thought of that a little bit. Think of the anticipation of this. Think of the nervousness. Think of the debate between Moses and the Israelites. Think of the communication. There wasn't a telegraph. There wasn't a phone call. There wasn't a group text. There wasn't an email blast. There wasn't a Twitter. There wasn't a tweet, I'm sorry. There wasn't a tweet. There wasn't a Facebook update. By the way, tonight, make sure you put blood over your doorpost. There was nothing of that. But somehow everybody knew. The word was passed. Probably about 1 million people. Think of the nervousness that might have come. Think of, are we doing this right? Will our firstborn die? When Moses talked of this to the people, and you'll see this in Exodus, you'll see that he says, we're going to do this every year. And he was putting something into motion that was to be remembered every year. And even now, when we have communion, we think of the blood that was sacrificed for us and that was spared for us so that our lives might be passed over. And God said this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was all the Israelites had to rest on. That's all they had to rest on. The blood of the Lamb. And that is all that you and I have to rest on today. The blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. God didn't say this. You know, Dave, you did an excellent job of putting blood on the doorpost. I mean, very artistic. I'm going to pass over because of that. Oh, Brent, boy, you did a wonderful job of putting blood. I mean, I like how you added a little on the sides. Wonderful job. He didn't say that. Here's what God said. When I see the blood, I will pass over your household. It's not by faith. It wasn't by the deeds. It wasn't, the mom in the house wasn't like, oh God, I hope that you pass over our house. It had nothing to do with that. You know what it had to do with? The blood that was on the doorpost. Moses, by faith, said, let's do this. And by faith, they did it. Verse 28, they kept the Passover. The Hebrews that were being written to at this point in time were going through some afflictions. And I think this is what he's trying to get at right here at this point in time. He's saying this. Look at what Moses did. He gave up and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He got rid of the fleeting passions, the fleeting pleasures of sin. And then he left Egypt. And then when he came back, he said, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. May we avoid the fleeting pleasures of sin for something greater. May we walk in faith like Moses, sometimes leaving in order to wait. May we keep God's commands as others wait on us. May His blood, help you to defeat the fleeting pleasures of sin as we work towards holiness. You need His blood to defeat sin. You can't do it on your own, and it's only by His blood. Now, you have to debate about food and stuff in your own life, okay? Don't go home and say, well, I can't have Coca-Cola because Pastor Steve said I couldn't have Coca-Cola. It's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is there something in your life that's a fleeting pleasure of sin that you need to say no to, that you need to confess, and in a couple moments as I'm praying, ask for the blood of Jesus to help you with that fleeting pleasure of sin. because it's just fleeting. That's what the Word of God says. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. In the quietness of this moment, may you bow your heads and may you close your eyes. I believe God's been speaking today and maybe he's spoken to you. And before I pray, just let me mention this. I believe we serve and we know a God who loves us unconditionally. And no matter what it is, in Psalm 103, he says he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. That's what he says. Lord Jesus, I come before you today as a man who identifies with this scripture so well, just like each woman and each man and each boy and each girl here. We are enticed on a daily basis of the fleeting pleasures of sin. Some of us have taken a bite of that. Some of us have swallowed that. Some of us possibly here have found ourselves in some deep issue because of that first taste or that first bite or that first involvement in whatever. I pray, God, against those things right now. And I ask that we would confess those to you. And I believe by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can save us from those things and you can raise us up to a new holiness. Oh God, may we refuse the things that would bring us down and would not bring us wholeness and joyfulness and peace. Thank you, God, for this example of Moses. He chose to refuse, so he didn't enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Thank you for him coming back to Egypt. Thank you for the time that you had him away. And then, Lord, I thank you for him instituting, by your word, the Passover. And thank you for saving so many lives, and thank you for saving our lives. Lord Jesus, I just ask that as we go away from this place on this day, that you would encourage us with your great mighty power because of the blood that was passed, that was put on the door frame, and you passed over those Israelites. I pray, God, that you would go before us this week and that you would give us of your peace and your strength. Thank you for your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.